Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to step inside the lion's lair, a place to explore our curiosities, the paranormal, angels, spirits, orbs. We will share our real-life experiences and invite you to do the same. With your hosts, Adriana Arts and Iggy Garcia. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440. Hello and welcome to the Lion's Lair. I'm Adriana Arts with Iggy Garcia, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Hi, Iggy.
Hi, Adriana. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Yeah, how are you today?
So you got your Peruvian teardrops on.
I do. They just resonate with me, so.
Good.
Yeah. How's your day been?
Pretty good. How's your day been?
Oh, I've had some ups and downs, that's for sure, today, but it's all good. I am here now and thankful to be sitting here.
Good. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
And I like your little lion outfit before shows. So if you guys want to see that, go to my Facebook page, Iggy Garcia.
Yeah, I had to get into character, so even though you can't really see me behind here.
Mark would be very proud of you.
Mark would be proud, I'm sure. So Diane's here. I wanted to bring up the what we decided to do with our friends. When you'd ask me about doing with you, I, really had to think about that because I thought, well, what would I want to do, and what would I want to talk about? A lot of the other hosts on these shows, their shows are in the fields that they've studied, years and years, and a lot of them do readings and things for a living or supplemental income. I'm not one of those hosts. I had to think about it. What would I want to do in a show? What I do have is I've had a lot of strange things happen to me all of my life. I was born with ESP, and I've always had visions and very vivid dreams. I have spent most of my life doing a dream interpretation of my own dreams because I knew that they had meaning. and then my mother was a very intuitive woman who she read cards, just a regular deck of cards. So later on in life, she taught me her technique, and I do readings. I just do not really do them for an income. And so anyway, when I was thinking about what I would want to do, the only thing I could come up with is, well, I've always been curious, and I've always had some really strange things happen to me all of my life. So let's just make this a show about strange happenings. The things that most people really don't see when people have visions, the other people in the room will not see what that person's seeing. A lot of people have dreams that, have a lot of intuition in the dreams, but a lot of people don't take dreams seriously, but I always did. I always knew that mine were indications of things that had not happened yet. And growing up, when you are born with gifts of intuition and visions, dreams, and more insight, as a small child, my first recollection of visions are like when I was at the age of 5. So when you're a small child and you have these gifts that you don't even understand at the time. I was lucky. I had a mother that did understand these gifts because she possessed them herself. And but she always would tell me, you know, tell me what you see or these things when they happen. You can always tell me. You have to watch out with telling anyone else because, you know, people will think you're sick or they'll think you're crazy or they could, you know, try to take you away from me if they think something's wrong with you. So I kind of had to hide my gifts from everyone. And that is what the Lion Lair is about. It's we're going to invite callers to call in, share your real life experiences, and not be afraid to tell us what they are. You can remain anonymous if you want when you call in. That's entirely up to you. But this is a place where you will not have to hide any of these things, that you might have been told that you could not talk openly about in groups of people. So the lair is a safe place where an animal goes to live, sleep, and I want this to be a safe place for open discussion about real-life experiences of the abnormal, paranormal, strange. So we do welcome you to call in, and we decided we were going to pick a certain one topic per show. So tonight's show is about orbs, and the reason I chose orbs is because currently where I live, I have an abundant amount of orbs.
Enough to give away, right?
I could give my orbs away. In this house, there's a lot of activity, and this is not the only activity in my house. This is just something that I've definitely had to take notice of because I never really noticed orbs before showing up in my photographs and even on video.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I will clarify, I'm horrible at research, so you'll have to pardon me if I'm not quoting correctly or whatever. You'll just have to get over that and excuse me, please. So, but I will do my best to just explain some of the things that I've read and how I interpreted them. So the first thing I did, when you punch in orbs, Wikipedia comes up, and that I'm going to actually read the definition of orbs. It says the term orb describes unexpected, typically circular artifacts that occur in flash photography, trails indicating motion. They're especially common with modern compact and ultra-compact digital cameras. Orbs are also sometimes called backscatter or near-camera reflection. So when the term backscatter showed on this article, I clicked on there to get more information on what backscatter was. And there's a lot of technical stuff, photography-related stuff there associated with backscatter, and I actually have quite a few friends who are photographers and also in videographers. So I have asked my friend Mary to call in, and if she could, and kind of tell us in more simpler terms, I guess, explain backscatter to us, since this is what Wikipedia says.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of orbs are sometimes called that.
And I think she's joining us at this
hello?
Moment on her
hello?
Orb.
Hello?
Hello,
hello.
Well,
hello there.
Hi,
how
is everybody?
We're doing well.
We're good.
Awesome. So, well, congratulations. You got a new show. That's exciting.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
It is. Thank you. And,
yeah.
And we're very glad that you could take time out to call in and share, you know, knowledge with us
of
this term backscatter as far as how it applies in photography.
True.
I do know that what little bit I read about it, backscatter, it mentioned light from a flash or a strobe that reflects
mm-hmm.
back from, like, particles
right.
In the... the field of view or something.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly it. Really, backscatter is a photography term, and it refers to the light that's coming from a flash. And when that flash goes off, if there's any particles that happen to be floating around near the lens, the light can reflect off those back into the lens. And when you, you know, record your photograph, these particles appear as kind of circles, and sometimes they're referred to as orb artifacts or orbs.
Mm-hmm.
People started to really get excited about orbs. They started really showing up in photography, really, when digital cameras appeared. So the reason why is if you think about your iPhone or any of your little cameras that you have with, like, the little flip-up flash, that
mm-hmm.
flash sits very, very close to the lens. And so when that flash goes off, it kind of puts an angle of light out. So think of a V or a cone. And there's also a field of view that your lens has that it can record. And those are very close together. And so what happens is those angles cross, so the light is being shot out by the flash, and then you have your field of view, that what your lens can actually record. And basically the light bounces off things that could be floating around in front of the lens, you know, dust, water droplets, insects, anything like that. And
mm-hmm.
it bounces back into the, you know, the camera, and you're recording that as a circle or an orb. That area is called the orb zone, and it's really an out-of-focus area that's right in front of the camera. And so when your camera is, you know, you're taking a picture, say, of a tree or of a person, you know, you're focusing way out in the distance. This
mm-hmm.
area is, like, right in front of the lens. And so, you know, think about, like, you know, like you put your thumb in front of the camera, and it kind of feels, looks like this big kind of pink blob. It's basically
mm-hmm.
the same thing of what you're recording, but with dust. I guess this is one thing I always thought of, and when I kind of did a quick research on this when you wanted me to call in, and for people who are older than maybe 35 or 40, do you guys remember sitting in, you know, a science class and having a film played off of a film projector, or being subjected
mm-hmm.
to somebody's mm-hmm. Somebody's, like, you know, slideshow, and the, you know, the
mm-hmm.
slide projector sitting there humming away, you're usually sitting in the dark. And if you look over where the lens is and the light's coming through there, projecting the image on the wall,
mm-hmm.
you can always see all those little particles floating around.
Right, right.
That's what you're photographing. That's a very good visual image of what you're seeing. So think back to that old, you know,
mm-hmm.
photographic projector, you know, with the slides. So that's basically, you're photographing, I wouldn't say all orbs, but a good chunk of them could just be things that are floating in the air, and if they're out of focus, they're right in front of the lens and shows up as a circle.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. at my house, my
mm-hmm.
orbs seem to be located right at the front door.
Sure.
So I'm curious as to, I sit in the same chair, and
mm-hmm.
and I angle over to aim at the front door, and I'll take pictures, and there's a ton of them there, and I won't move out of this chair, but
mm-hmm.
I will simply just angle to the opposite, in the wall
mm-hmm.
opposite of there, and I'll take photographs, and there's nothing. So if I haven't
mm-hmm.
actually moved my position, then what's the difference? Would that indicate that there's just a whole bunch of dust by my door and there isn't any?
It could be.
If it's right,
you could also think,
close to me or to the view.
Sure. You know, I can't say for sure, but, you know, really a lot of it's based on air movement and how things are moving through. My guess is, the dust that you're photographing is actually near where your camera is. It's not where you're over by the door. You're thinking you're photographing things that are sitting back there by the door, but it's probably a lot of it. I can't say all of it, but, you know, if it's dust-related, it's stuff that's actually floating right in front of you that you're photographing.
I just think it's strange if I don't actually move my physical body when I'm photographing from the left side and then photograph to the right side, how there's nothing on the right side at all. And actually, there's
mm-hmm.
nothing really anywhere else in my house. I've walked down to mm-hmm. the basement and photographed, not get a light of anything. Mm-hmm. A couple of times in my bedroom, I've seen very few. But for the most part, mine are like really located right at the front door. So that's interesting. You've been at my house when mm-hmm. a few of us were there one night, and we all were kind of taking pictures and photographs mm-hmm. with our cameras. And yes, I think of us were using phone cameras, so compact digitals. Mm-hmm. But we also ran video from our camera. So is this batter and things floating right in front of the lens? I guess that applies also to video, or do you know?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. And most of the time you're in the dark and you use some mm-hmm. sort of flash to illuminate things. But, you know, I've read and, you know, that people have just been able to record with even out a flash, they've been able to record orbs. And this is one of those mysteries, you know, I can't really tell you yay or nay. I mean, mm-hmm. very well, they may be something paranormal. A majority of orbs is really just dust, but mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, for me, you know, I love the idea of thinking that, you know, my grandmother is hanging out with me and just checking on me or something, you know. So, but I just, you know, I don't know
for sure.
I mean, there's something sweet about that, you know, that our loved ones are, you know, checking us out, making sure we're okay. Or mm-hmm. there could be something a little terrifying if we don't know what it is and something, you know, kind of mm-hmm. weird is going on. But, yeah, I mean, I you know, when we were drumming down in, where was it, down in Chillicothe, I think Katie had recorded some orbs. And, you know, I don't remember mm-hmm. if she had a flash on or a light on or not, but I definitely saw a lot of movement. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it does move as if there was, you know, dust can move with just a very little, you know, air current. So it could have been light from, you know, another room that's been picked up that goes by the camera and it somehow reflects a little bit. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it was something more.
Yeah. Well, I know I've actually videotaped without a flash on my camera.
Mm-hmm.
And this is still with my phone, though, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual lights in my house on and have seen, have caught them on video that way without even using a flash
mm-hmm.
photography.
Sure.
So is this just light reflecting from somewhere, like my ceiling light was on or whatever? This,
yeah,
I guess,
very well could be.
It's
yeah,
just picking
well
up the light from that angle or something. And then the movement
mm-hmm.
is so seems
mm-hmm.
so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes I've actually had them, you know, I've recorded them, and it looks like they're literally coming through the walls. So
mm-hmm.
I guess that kind of, I'm kind of curious how that works with backscatter, but
well, I guess if you know, when you get too far out of the orb zone where, you know, the camera starts to become in focus and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're too far away from the light, you know, you're not going to see dust there. But if dust or, you know, a fly or, you know,
if it's coming towards you,
something's coming towards you, it could look like it's coming out of the wall.
Okay.
You know, you have to, I mean, in the phenomena of backscatter, this is stuff that's floating in front of the lens, you know. If
right.
it's actually
okay.
something maybe paranormal, it may have just very well came out of the wall, you know. And I think, you know, here's one thing that I always look at, too, that I never see, like, orbs that are kind of, like, half behind people. They're always in front of people, which kind of also is an indicator to me that the orb is floating in between me and the subject.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you see, like, an orb that's kind of, like, behind somebody's shoulder peeking out or something, and so you're only seeing, like, part of that circle, then I'd be a little more like, this is probably not backscatter. It
mm-hmm.
could be something else.
Well, I know our friend Dave, he records a lot at
mm-hmm.
Garcia's on Saturdays and at our drumming. And I know he shot a video that everyone commented on because it literally looked like I was shooting orbs. I was up dancing, and it looked like orbs just, they came right out of my chest. It
mm-hmm.
was just, it was pretty crazy. Yeah, it looked like something from Star Wars. So,
yeah.
And if Mark, if you're on there, I hope you're playing the Star Wars theme.
<If you're listening.
laughs> Exactly. Okay,
yeah,
well.
Well, you know, it could have very well been, like, I know, you know, Dave uses a light a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, even though, you know, that could be the same kind of technique as, you know, what I was explaining when you saw the film projector or the slide projector,
right.
you know, even though it's just a constant light, you still, you know, that light is bouncing off things and coming back. That's how the image of you was created. So it's also bouncing off, you know, smaller particles, and at certain points they may have been, you know, reflecting back. Or maybe you were
yeah.
channeling something, and, you know, I mean, that's part of the mystery, you know. I mean,
yeah,
there's
always
else
that
out
possibility.
There, so.
Or maybe our spirits
yeah,
come back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd like
particles.
To think so.
Maybe our spirits are dust particles, huh?
Well, I like to
dust
think
maybe, we need a little dusting over there. But you're Molly Mage.
Well, a couple of
no,
other
I mean,
things.
It's everywhere. Dust is everywhere. It's not just your home or whatever. I mean, it is everywhere, so, you know, it's
right.
it's going to show up.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, what else is kind of it strikes me, my curiosity, is like when we were at Ash Cave,
mm-hmm.
we captured a lot of orbs in some photographs, and but not every photograph. So I'm just curious as far as, If two people were photographing the same exact mm-hmm. area at the same exact time, it would make sense that both of them should capture the same dust particles,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
it depends on what camera you're using, if you're using a flash
mm-hmm.
or not, the moment that you take the picture. You know, some of the more, you know, professional photographer-type photography cameras that the lens sits up higher, you know, that flash is out of the orb zone. You know, that angle does not intersect
mm-hmm.
with the angle of your lens coverage until
mm-hmm.
further out. And at that point, you know, you wouldn't be photographing orbs. You know, you'd be in an area where you're in focus and you just really wouldn't see that dust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a lot of different things. I mean, it could just be that moment that, you know, when you took the picture, you did not take the picture at the same exact moment as, you know, Iggy did.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know, you know, and maybe somebody has some power that can channel and take those pictures, and maybe somebody can't, you know.
But
I think a lot of it just has to do with the type of equipment, whether you're using a flash or not. And I noticed a lot of people at Ash Cave used flashes. You know, I could see
mm-hmm.
picture me on a big drum, and my eyes were all lit up like, you know, wolf dog, you know, and caught in the middle of the night, you know, Cujo. So, you know, so definitely somebody took it, you know, that picture with a flash. So, you know, there's
yeah.
probably a better chance that orbs would show up than without. But, you know, I mean, orbs have appeared in photography for forever. It's just they weren't as common
mm-hmm.
until digital.
Yeah. Another reference to backscatter, they referenced in astronomy. They said backscattered
mm-hmm.
light in astronomy is that which is reflected with a phase angle of less than 90 degrees. So what you're
mm-hmm.
talking about with the angles of where the flash and the field of view there from the camera, kind of, I guess, associating with this 90-degree angle in astronomy. I have no idea.
We'll leave that for your astronomer, friend. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
What we're really seeing
I have
seeing
any out there, please call
me. I always liked astronomy, but once it got into the math, I mean, I liked math, but it got really complicated. But,
yeah.
I mean, really, it does have to do with how the flash intersects that field
mm-hmm.
That angle of, like, lens coverage. So,
yeah.
And the closer it is, you know, things that are closer to the lens will become illuminated, and that's where you start to see, you know.
Well, another interesting fact about backscatter is in weather radar, it is actually the principle behind radar systems. So that was my fun fact for today.
All right.
All right.
Well, now we need to get the local weatherman on the show.
That's quite
now,
I didn't know that.
There is a paranormal interpretation of orb backscatter. And
okay.
So, so this is the other side of the orbs that we all, well, I definitely tend to believe.
It has been
broadly interpreted as a highly variable range of supernatural paranormal phenomena without verifiability, including but not limited to invisible spirits, unexpected lights, auras, angels, ghosts, energy fields, psycho-energetic artifacts, and energy balls. Mm-hmm. So those are interesting, but that is the paranormal backscatter. That's what they mm-hmm. kind of refer for the paranormal. So, okay. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. Later in, or actually in this next, when I'm getting ready to continue here, they do recommend that if you're going to research orbs and actually photograph them to find out if one's actually a spirit, you know, and dust or the difference between them, to use a high-resolution camera. So do you have any recommendations for high-resolution? Are they talking a lot of pixels? What are they talking for high-resolution? The power of the lens?
In the video world, that's what we're talking about is pixels. You know, and so, you know, I mean, there's cameras now that shoot up to four times high definition, you know, so, you know, like the red camera can shoot four times high definition. So, you know, you're basically creating an image that you could zoom in, you know, to a quarter of that size and have still a beautiful HD image. I don't recommend people running out and buying red cameras because they're extremely expensive. We can't even afford them. But, I guess, you know, I wouldn't know what to recommend. I mean, because here's my thought was, you know, when I was doing a little research on this, you know, there was a haunted theater, and so they had taken some pictures and were, of course, getting orbs with their iPhone and their small cameras. And then they also brought in a professional photographer, and, you know, this person had a very high-resolution camera. And you know, shot the photographs and didn't get one orb in his pictures. So I think once again, it just showed that even though he had a high resolution camera, it was the angle where his flash was compared to on the lower, you know, resolution cameras, the more instant, you know, type of cameras. So I don't know. I guess that's why they have those ghost hunter shows and they bring in all that electronic equipment and, you know, they try to capture it. I've never done that, but I would be all for it. We could try one.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
All right. Well, Mary, I want to thank you for enlightening us there. That was very helpful information. And I'm sure we will be talking again soon. So, but definitely thank you for your time and your insight. We love you.
Love you, Mary.
Love you, too. You're welcome. Bye, Dee. Bye, Adrian.
Bye.
Bye-bye, honey.
So we're going to take a quick little break here, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
This show is brought to you by Inca Cola, the golden cola, Peru's finest.
Yes, it is.
And we are back on the show here. Yeah, John, that was pretty cool. I like to hear what our friends have to say because it's pretty cool. You know, she's in the biz, so she has a whole take on how things are and how they. And I always ask Mary, what do you think about those orbs? And then she never really answers.
She never really answers. But,
she didn't want to break our heart. It's all backscatter to her.
Well, no, there's a part of her obviously that believes that they could definitely be more.
And I think they're can't we just say that our ancestors travel on little spirit orbs of dust? Since we are what, dust, right? Dust from dust we come, dust from dust we go.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
So, I definitely have my belief.
Yeah. David's online.
Okay.
And I think he wants to share some of his thoughts
about. Yeah, please do. Have him on.
Hello.
Hello, I'm here.
What's hi up, there.
Bro? Hi. Or should I say peace? Because talking today about the way we greet and part from one another. So I wanted to wish you both peace.
Well,
Namaste, brother. Peace.
Thank you.
We did talk about that.
Well, it's great to be on the first show on The Lion, This Is Lair.
Welcome.
Well,
Come right on in. Thank you.
Okay, I will make myself comfortable.
That's right. Lounge around like a big cat.
Nice beanbag. Yeah, I love it. Oh, okay. Well, it's an interesting subject that you brought up, you know, with the orbs and everything. You know, we've captured orbs for as long as we've been together. And, I know, and I'm open-minded. I call myself an open-minded skeptic in that I don't buy everything that, you know, as just on the surface of it. I like to know. I like to be aware. I understand, you know, there's dust in the air, and I understand that when we get around fires and things like that, there's soot and smoke and things that create what appears to be orbs, and wispy things in the air. And it's fun to talk about. It's fun to speculate, you know, and we get excited and imagine things. That being said, though, there have been times when we have captured on our cameras things that were outstanding and things that were very, very unusual, not just the usual little orbs that you'd see. I recall in particular that time that we did the Dance of the Four Totems at the art studio next to Garcia's.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was a powerful time. We had dedicated that dance to three relatives that Bob Clift had lost within a year, his mother and two nephews. So there was a lot, we dedicated that. So there was a lot of the spiritual aspect going on there. And when we got some pictures back, there was a huge orb just over one of Tom Gluck's daughter's head. And this orb was not just your fuzzy little thing. It was intricate. It had design. It was, and to me, to this day, it looks like there's an eye in it looking out. It was outstanding. And then there was a green orb that we captured on when Needy was dancing on his back, you know, towards when he had his back turned to the camera. And I had never seen a green orb. And also in reviewing Todd.
I have some at my house.
Yeah. Well, you know,
green ones.
And in reviewing, when Todd was taking video at the time, so I went back and I looked at that video, and about 8 minutes into the video, you see this green light just kind of shoot up around Iggy's back, and that must have been the time that we captured that. So there are times when we get something that's I believe more than just the backscatter and dust and things in the air. So. Just with that being said, it takes an experienced eye to kind of pick out those things. We've also captured energy, swirls and really dramatic things that can't be explained quite so easily. But orbs in general, you know, I mean, they're fun to talk about, but for the most part, you know, they are either, you know, dust or moisture in the air or perhaps, like Iggy said, there's just an energy that, you know, manifests in that way. We can call it our ancestors or whatever we like to call it. But, it helps to be on both sides of the issue and we're gonna maybe kind of, lean in one way and go, okay, you know, maybe we can explain that. And then the other way, well, you know, we can't explain that. So, I just wanted to share the things we've had.
That's interesting because the last thing I read last night was about energy orbs. And this was from another website, and no, I'm not going to quote which one because I didn't write it down.
Well, before you go on there, you know, I remember that day. You know, those orbs were so green. We didn't see them like right away. We saw them later in the picture. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And you know, must be our connection to the Emerald City. you know?
Yeah.
You know, when we... But anyhow.
Nice segue there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Exactly. Well, what it said about energy orbs is exactly what you were just talking about, David. They, and actually had a picture of this woman meditating. And so this is an example of energy orbs, and some of these orbs, of course, have color, depending on the chakra that the energy is really coming from. But what it said about these energy orbs were they usually appear directly around one of the main chakra energy centers, and that they manifest through the feelings of love, joy, and at a high vibrational frequency. So like when meditating, the energy that you're concentrating on in your meditation, it's not going to be unusual that an actual orb, and a colored orb even, not necessarily just white, would appear in a photograph of this person that's meditating around the, you know, the heart chakra or the core. What they said, those are like the energy orbs, and then angel orbs are larger. They're supposed to be larger and more vibrant than the energy orbs. And they also, this website also believe that sometimes that they are the spirits of your ancestors or other people that have passed on. So thank you for calling in on that. That brought up my energy balls or energy orbs. So. What little bit that I had read about that, and a person can produce, you know, the energy from this person can actually produce this orb to show in these photographs, so, and on video. So
that makes perfect sense to me because, you know, we are, on many levels, you know, we're a physical body, but we're also biomechanical, we're bioelectrical, we are vibration, and vibration and light are very similar, you know, energy travels through different states, so... You know, it's not just matter, it's vibration, and it's, you know, it creates a lot of different effects. And when you said that about those very vibrant orbs being possibly spirits of ones who have passed or our ancestors, that also ties into that ceremony that we were doing, you know, where we were actually dedicating our dances to the spirits of those people. Yeah. I really do feel like they were there visiting us.
Oh, I definitely believe that they were there, you know. Definitely. So,
you know, and sometimes we don't have to prove everything, you know. We just it's just nice to sometimes get confirmation in that way. It's not like we have to put it under, you can't put a spiritual experience under a microscope or in a test tube.
Right.
You have to experience it through your own eyes. Yeah, so
maybe they're throwing dice.
Throw
some more dust so Iggy can see and David and Adriana can see.
Actually, this leads me into my next part here. I was on a website and I did log this one down. It was ghostweb.com and they have an orb theory. And like most people, they say the most common orbs are dust. And so what they recommend doing is establishing a baseline of your photographs of orbs. To establish a baseline, you're basically putting a board up, you're taking photographs with different cameras, different with, without flash, if you capture, you know, an orb either way, in daylight or with a flash, different cameras, some film, some digital, put these photographs on a board so that you have a baseline to go by and judge what's a dust orb. And so they actually recommend taking like 100 photos or more of dust, pollen, sand, raindrops in their location. So they're basically saying, you know, when I read sand, I thought, well, Ash Cave, we have sand there. So, but they also recommend 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 people, however many want to come along to also help you so that everybody has a different camera, everybody's using some film, some digital, whatever, and get your friends to help you to get these hundreds of photos up and actually like throw the dust or the sand up in the air
See what happens. Hey, let's have a dust fight.
You cannot see my co-host here.
I can imagine.
Yes. But anyway, it does recommend throwing the dust up in the air and actually photographing it and having your friends help you. So everybody takes photographs, and that way we put them all on a board. And so I think this is an experiment that me and my friends, I'm going to invite to come do. Help me make an orb board. So that way we can establish, a baseline and something to compare our photos to. What we know is dust, we'll have that, you know, right up there. This is a dust orb. This is what it looks like. And so, I thought that was interesting. So I do think this will be my orbs will be an ongoing project for sure, since I have so many of them only at the front area of my house, not anywhere else. But I have to say, Ghost Web also believes that there are spirit orbs. And they said that through their research and their investigations, a spiritual orb represented the soul of a departed person, complete with their emotions, intelligence, and their personalities. So they kind of say, you know, 99% of the orbs are dust, they still believe that there are spirit orbs or spheres. And they said that, I guess they believe this because the actual shape of the sphere, which is what all orbs are, you know, come in this shape, are common in our everyday life, like our blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
The earth, the moon, the planets, everything is in a circle. So this ghostweb.com actually referenced the vision of Black Elk, and where his vision describes hoops within hoops. And as soon as I read that, I thought of my hoop watcher. Our hoop watcher, Iggy.
Yes.
So I immediately texted him, and I said, can you please research Black Elk? And because I wanted to move on. I have another whole set of orbs after this. So right now I would like Iggy to share his research with us of Black Elk.
Well, Black Elk is a very, very unique species. It's very hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind, I'm just joking.
he's being honored.
So before I start, I had a CD, like an old CD disc, and I was floating around Adriana here. That's why she's laughing, for those of you who want to know what we were laughing about. Well, in indigenous cultures, number one, the wheel, which is the hoop, it represents the cycle of the circles of life, always going round and round, never ending. The moon is round, the sun is round, the planets are round. Well, they're more spherical, per se, but in all indigenous traditions, we believe that the hoop is representation of who we are and how we connect and how we're part of that. So and I was just thinking about this, you know, when we take pictures of all these orbs, you know, they all have a pretty spherical shape,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when you look at dust, it doesn't look like it has a sphere, but maybe we're catching the energy, the essence of the dust. That means the dust is actually alive. It means it's part of nature. It's part of the mother. It's part of the earth. Which people fail to give credit to this dust particle,
yeah.
that it's part of the earth,
mm-hmm.
that it's actually a living being, you know, mm-hmm. in its own right. It the way it functions is different than the we function. You know, we have a whole completely different system. Well, they have their own system, too. They have their own system, how they work and how they navigate through the cosmos and through this earth and how they do their thing. So the ancestors are always present in indigenous cultures, and especially in Native American cultures, we believe that our ancestors never leave us. They're always with us. For some people, that would be kind of weird to know that your grandparents are there behind you when you're in the bathroom or something, or when you're in the married or whatever. So, but they're there. But they have respect, too. So it's not like they're in your face constantly. They know when to come, and they know when to show up, and they know when to step away. So there is like this system, unspoken word, that does work. So these spirit orbs, and, you know, Black Elk is very, very big in Lakota history. You know, he was he got to witness, you know, Custer's last stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was around at that time, and he was a mystic, and he was a medicine man for his people. And, you know, he saw a lot of things that people shouldn't have to see. And so the ghost dance and all these different traditions come from that, and they remember that. And a lot of people lost their lives because they did the dance, because they lost their ways. They weren't allowed to do what they wanted to do. They were taken, and they were massacred. That's why they call it a massacre.
Right.
And so these spirits and these orbs that he's talking about are talking about the ancestors, the people who have, you know, who've come before us. You know, there's we don't die. So how we come back and how we do things, it's still a mystery. We have our theories about it and how we manifest. But I like David saying, who's to say that they aren't real?
Right.
Just because they're a particle doesn't mean that that particle doesn't exist. Some kind of energetic charge that reflects back and shows us. Mary talked about how when you turn on the camera, the camera projector.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that when
the
dust particles flying around and stuff. It just shows you how much really goes on around us that we don't see and how much things are attracted to the light. The biggest one, she said that, is how they were attracted to the light.
Right.
You know, who's to say that they weren't there, but they were just attracted to the light and brought there? So that's a good example they were part of something much bigger, something much grander. But we get to be part of that. We get to be an experience of that. And so I really enjoy it, you know, when she talked about that, because that means that we're part of this big universe that we fit in.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there is no out there. It's all inside of us and how we express. And that's kind of what Black Elk had taught over the years.
Mm-hmm.
At the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit. And in that center, really everywhere, it is within each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of his famous quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So within the sphere of ourselves there. So that's my research on Black Elk, without getting too much history about, you know, what he did or what he accomplished. But, you know,
he did have that vision when he was 9 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's something that's been passed on.
That's an interesting read. I would recommend if anyone has an interest to read The Vision of Black Elk, look it up and read a little bit about it. That was an interesting read for sure.
And Black Elk Speaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Black Elk Speaks.
Well, I have just one more thing to say about orbs. I just wanted to close or part with this little story or little, you know, a thing that I noticed. You know, I noticed that some of these orbs look like little smiley faces. You know, and you focus in on them, they look just like a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
There was one picture that I've seen and I blew it up a little bit more just to make sure I was seeing what I saw. It was taken in some abandoned, like a bunker or something, I don't know, but there was spray paint on the background. You know, people put graffiti on the background. This orb had a frowny face, you know, had the upside-down smile.
Uh-huh.
And I looked directly behind it, you know, a little bit off to the side. Someone had drawn on the wall a frowny face that looked just like it.
Oh, wow.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So this orb was mirroring that frowny face. It looked like perfectly. So I don't know.
Or
you know,
the person that drew the face. So maybe they were there.
That could be. It could be.
You never
know.
All right.
Well,
thank you for calling in and sharing.
Thank you, David.
Well,
I
love you both.
All right.
I'm happy for the new show, and I will say peace out to both of you. Peace
thank
out.
You. We love you, too.
Love you, bro.
We'll talk to you soon also. Okay, very interesting. Now, my next orb talk. This is for another friend of ours I have asked to call in. And it is UFO or alien orbs. So we have our friend Mark, who hopefully is on.
Time to awaken.
And I actually gave Mark a video to watch, a couple of videos. I'd sent him a website to him and said, look at this and tell me what you think. But
Mark.
Is Mark anywhere around? Otherwise, I'll
keep talking.
I think
he's here.
All right.
I'm going by code name Dust Bunny tonight.
Okay.
Dust Bunny.
Perfect.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
Mark.
Great.
Mark?
Yeah.
Up, Mark.
So, Mark, I sent you, I told you to watch those videos in January of this year, and I seen this on Strangeness Video on YouTube. There were orbs, glowing orbs, hovering over Western Massachusetts. And the video that I watched, I think it was the second one, it looked like there was a huge flying saucer type sphere, and all of these other smaller orbs or spheres came out of the main one, and they went below it, and they were like they formed a perfectly straight line, and at the bottom, you know, I don't know how deep, because this was, you know, of course, taken from way far away, and this was happening up in the sky, and it was kind of a nighttime on this one. But when they all lined up at the bottom, these smaller ones, there were five. And what was interesting was the main sphere in the sky stayed in the center where it was, to where it started releasing these. And then all five of them lined up at the bottom, so you literally could almost visualize an actual triangle pattern. Because they were in a straight line, and then they would break off two at a time. The bottom line of these five, the two outer edges at the same time, you know, both just flew out straight out to the sides and went off, and then the next two on the outer edges flew out, and the one that was in the center, the fifth one, went back up into the big orb or sphere in the sky, or flying saucer, whatever you want to call it. So what was your take on that video?
Yeah, I saw that there was actually a second, that's actually the second wave of these that they've had there. I mean, in general with those, I mean, that was a pretty bizarre video. I mean, because it look like there was a mothership that was, had smaller UFOs coming out and lining up in procession underneath it. That was it was pretty bizarre.
Do you think that could have been done, those videos? I mean, do you think that could have been like somebody doing a big hologram in the sky or something? I mean, I looked at that and I was just like, oh my goodness. But what's weird is other people captured the same night, the same place, different parts of town, you know, other people captured these also, and like you said, other incidents around this in January, which is interesting. But what do you think? What do you think about the big orbs in the sky, the big spheres?
Yeah, I mean, I think those have got to be legit, because you know, when there's I know that people can do lots of stuff with technology now and fake certain things, but I think when you have like multiple objects like that, and you've got and you've got multiple witnesses and stuff reporting from different locations, just like the Holy Grail to me is the Phoenix Lights at this point. I mean, to me, that's like the most conclusive UFO evidence, because, I mean, that was seen right over a large metropolitan city and videoed and photographed by hundreds of people, including senators, congressmen, chiefs of police, military.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the military, because that is part of my UFO orb investigating that I was and researching that I was doing. So I wanted to ask you about this. One of the first things I read came from a guy, Matthias Gaffney, G-A-F-N-I, at BayAreaNewsGroup.com. This was an article that I read. That he wrote, Spy Satellites or Visitors from Faraway Galaxies. But this basically led into Project Blue Book, which was from 1947 to 1969. It was a project headed by the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force, which was headquartered right here at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. They ran this investigation from 1947 to 1969. This was 2 years after World War II ended and as the Cold World was beginning. So to make this kind of short, because it looks like we're getting a little bit close on time, they basically, when they ended this project, they concluded there was no definite proof of either aliens visiting Earth or advanced spy craft that was launched by our enemies. The first report, I believe, was in 1947, and this report was by a reputable pilot named Kenneth Arnold near Mount Rainier in Washington. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correct, but he was definitely proven, you know, considered a credible witness. He was a pilot, and so his story hit the press and the public's imagination, according to Jeff Underwood, who was a historian for the National Museum of the Air Force. He said the public's imagination went wild post-war, and so that's why they actually even launched this program to begin with. They had to investigate. They had to attempt to find out any validity to a UFO crisis or if it was just like mass hysteria going on because of all these reports that had started coming in afterwards. So apparently the Air Force was, the Soviets had created a super weapon more than any aliens or little green men on Earth. So by the end of this program in 1969, they had investigated 12,618 reports of these orbs or spheres flying around, and they were basically explained away as weather phenomena, meteors, satellites, a bright planet in the sky, balloons, birds, and overactive imagination.
And Mark.
What was interesting, though, is in 1961, President Kennedy had received a letter from a woman who was out feeding birds one morning, early morning, and she's seen two stationary, in the sky, two stationary white balls, one that looked like it had a tail. And she wrote a letter to President Kennedy and reported that. And then again in 1966, Gerald Ford, who was a Michigan congressman at the time, he actually complained that the Air Force was dismissing a ton of UFO reports of UFO sightings, and that they were just dismissing it as like swamp gas. So he actually called for a congressional inquiry, and Jimmy Carter, before his presidency, said that he actually seen a UFO in the sky, and that, you know, all of these reports were coming in from these witnesses. So what I found interesting at the end of this program, it ended on December the 17th, 1969. The Air Force terminated Blue, citing conclusions from a University of Colorado report titled Scientific Study of Unidentified Flying Objects. And the researchers of that study determined there was no threat to national security or extraterrestrial vehicles uncovered. But out of all of these 12,000 and some reports, 701 of those sightings remain unidentified. So the U.S. Air Force did not even release the fact sheet on this until 1985, and now all of the documentation has been permanently transferred to the Military Reference Branch of the National Archives and Records Administration in Washington, D.C., and supposedly is available for public view. But it's just so interesting that very prominent people have actually seen these things, and yet, at the end of this, I had read that they closed this investigation, and nothing has happened to indicate that the Air Force should resume investigating. So I found that interesting with all these videos and things going on. And we're almost out of time, Mark, so I think we'll be continuing this next on the next show, but I definitely would like to get together with you a little bit more.
Okay, sounds great. It's definitely a very big topic. We could lots of ground to cover. Lots of ground
Perfect.
To cover.
All right, thanks, Mark.
We love you.
Okay, love you guys, too.
We will thank you for calling. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. We hope you've enjoyed our show.
Well done.